right. Thank you all for being here this afternoon. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm from the University of Georgia. And I'd like to talk to you today about nitrogen management impacts on ammonia oxidizers and nitrogen dynamics in a sweet corn production system. So I'll cover an outline briefly of the talk I'll do today. I'll cover an introduction, objective, methods, results, and finally the summary. So for the introduction, as far as importance of nitrogen use efficiency, we're all aware that nitrogen is often a limiting nutrient for crops, especially corn. Most farmers worldwide lack access to nitrogen inputs, and if you were able to attend the keynote speaker last night, Dr. Rakes did a great job of outlining that problem as a grand solution, or a grand challenge that needs a great solution. And finally, for farmers that do have access to nitrogen fertilizers, inefficient use can result in financial losses. So our research hopes to address this issue and increase nitrogen use efficiency. So this is a brief overview of the nitrogen cycle. The gray boxes are showing the nitrogen pools in the system, and the white boxes are showing the processes that move the nitrogen through the system. And we're focusing specifically on nitrification and on nitrification, which results in nitrate, one of the plant available forms, and one of the forms most subject to losses through leaching. So this is showing U.S. consumption of primary plant nutrients and millions of tons of nutrients per year, and you can see as of 2012, it was around 12 million tons of nitrogen, the dark blue bar on the bottom. And where it's been relatively stable in U.S. consumption over the last few decades, worldwide consumption is increasing at a lot higher rate, and with that level of consumption, efficiency is important. So some alternative inputs for nitrogen need to be considered. We're looking at animal waste because of its nutrient content and widespread availability. Poultry litter is unique because of its heavy metal content and high ammonia content. And Georgia, where my research is, happens to be the number one producer of broilers in the U.S., producing around 730 million kilograms of dry litter in 2010. This is showing the farm gate value for Georgia as of 2009. You see poultry production is the highest percentage of what we do in terms of farm gate value, even greater than crops. So it's a massive source of nutrients in the state, the poultry litter. And poultry litter is a mixture of excreta and bedding. So this is the most recent data for broiler production in the U.S. And again, as of 2013, Georgia was the number one producer with over a billion heads of birds. And you can see the concentration of poultry production in the eastern United States. And so our study is on an acidic ultisol in Georgia. And it's important to look at local ways to use poultry litter because the most expensive part of using it as an input is transportation costs. So briefly back to the nitrogen cycle. We're focusing on nitrification down at the bottom, which is a process mediated by a group of organisms, microorganisms called ammonia oxidizers. So nitrification is a two-step process. The first step is the transformation of ammonia to nitrite, mediated by ammonium monooxygenase, and this is the first and rate-limiting step of the process, mediated by ammonia-oxidizing bacteria, which I'll refer to as AOB, and ammonia-oxidizing archaea, which I'll refer to as AOA. And that's followed by the second step of the process of nitrite to nitrate, mediated by nitrite oxidizers. So this is a confocal laser image showing in green the ammonia oxidizers and in red the nitrite oxidizers living in close proximity. And again, the rate limiting step is performed by the green ammonia oxidizers, which is a mixture of bacteria and archaea. So the reason why we're looking at the bacteria and archaea separately, this was previously attributed just to bacteria, but in 2005, the AMO genes were found in archaea, in many ecosystems, archaea are actually more abundant than bacteria. And in some soil systems, archaea have been found to be more abundant than bacteria. And a new phylum was even proposed for these mesophilic archaea. So no previous work had been done examining nitrogen dynamics and ammonia oxidizers under different systems of nitrogen management in a Georgia ultisol. So that's what our study is doing. So the objectives I'm going to cover today for these organic and conventional nitrogen management systems, we're comparing the abundance and function of the AOA and AOB, the archaea and bacteria, and we're comparing nitrogen pools and the corn plant parameter response. So the methods of our study, these were the field plots from the first year of the study, and we used a complete randomized block design with four treatments and four reps for a total of 16 plots. The control treatments received no nitrogen, but they received the other nutrients based on the soil test recommendations so that none of the other nutrients would be limiting. The AS1 treatment received ammonium sulfate at 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which is just below the recommended rate. The AS2 received nitrogen at 224 kilograms per hectare, which is slightly at the high end of the recommended rate. And the organic poultry litter treatments received 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So for the results for objective A, we found in 2012, this is showing the copy numbers of the AMOA gene per gram of soil for the different treatment groups. And the AOB outnumbered AOA in all treatments. And this is for 2013. Again, AOB outnumbered AOA with the highest abundance in the AS2 and poultry litter treatments. And then this is a combined graph showing the first two bars are the AOA for both years, and then the second two bars are the AOB for the 2 years. And this is just showing in the AS2 and the organic treatment, the AOB numbers really jumped in the second year, so we started to see more of a treatment effect in the second year. So another way to look at it is the ratio of ammonia oxidizing bacteria to archaea. So for 2012, we didn't see much of a difference in the ranges of that ratio, but for 2013, we saw more of a range, the highest ratio being 1.8 for the AS2 treatment, and the second highest, 1.64 for the organic. So 2012, the lowest was the 1.3 in the control group, and the highest 1.41, so that was a range of 0.11. And for 2013, we had the highest at 1.8 and the lowest at 1.45 for the control with a range of 0.35. Again, more of a treatment effect in 2013. We looked at nitrification potential because that's the maximum potential to produce nitrate in the soil system. So this is in milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil per day. And we saw the highest nitrification potential rates for the AS2 and organic treatments. So we did a regression to look for correlation between nitrification potential and a few different areas. So this first one is showing nitrification potential on the y-axis and the AOB abundance on the x-axis. And we got a pretty good correlation of r-squared of 0.58. Same regression with archaea abundance and nitrification potential, and we get 0.04. So they're obviously not the major players in our soil systems. But interestingly, we saw that the highest correlation of 0.7692 with the nitrification potential and the AOB-AOA ratio. So while it's clear that the bacteria are functionally and numerically dominant in these systems, apparently there is some interaction with the bacteria and archaeal ratio that's important as well. And these organisms do operate at different substrate affinities and in different ways. So that was an interesting result. So for the second objective, comparing nitrogen pools and corn plant parameter response, for 2012 postseason, this is the ammonium and nitrate in kilograms of nitrogen per hectare for the different treatments. And again, this is post-season, so we saw the highest levels of nitrate in the AS2 treatment at around 30 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and no difference between the poultry litter and the control, though, as far as nitrogen in the soil. Corn plant height was one of the parameters that we used, and again, 2012, we didn't see as much of a treatment effect, but 2013, the treatments responded better. So this is corn stalk nitrogen content, and for all treatments for all years, they fell within the range of the optimum limit, which is 0.7 to 2%, but the AS1 and AS2 treatments had the highest corn stalk nitrogen content for 2012. The corn leaf content, this was interesting because the relationship of the years was the inverse of the corn stalk content. So this seems to indicate where the nitrogen made it in the plant by the end of the season. So a summary of our results. Bacteria were numerically dominant over archaea in all treatments for all the years. In 2013, the AS2 treatment and organic treatment groups had the highest copy number, or highest abundance of AOB. And the AOB to AOA ratio was highest in 2013 in the AS2 and organic treatments. Nitrification potential was greatest in AS2 and organic in 2013. And finally, the AOB and AOB to AOA ratio had the strongest correlation with nitrification potential, stronger than AOB or AOA alone. For objective B, our corn stalk nitrogen percentage was highest in the ammonium sulfate treatment groups and lowest in the control and organic groups. But post-season nitrate pools in the soil were highest for these ammonium sulfate groups as well. So conclusions based on these results, the organically managed plots seem to be a viable option in terms of nitrogen use efficiency. The ammonium sulfate treatment showed an advantage over the poultry litter treatment in terms of corn stalk nitrogen percentage, but we had more nitrate left in the soil post-harvest. So more work is needed to study these different management systems in different soil types and different climate conditions, especially in the eastern U.S. where there is so much poultry litter available. And this can be applied to different regions and different nitrogen sources, but it's just a way of looking for local alternatives for nitrogen input. So I'd like to thank the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture for funding, and with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Do you think the drought of 2012, if you guys experienced it down in Georgia, had any impact on your results?
Yes, we do. Good question. Yes.
Did you mention that AOA or AOB content of the poultry litter itself?
We haven't yet, but I do. I have samples in the freezer, and those on my to-do list, because that will be interesting. Yes.
How did you select your poultry litter application rate? Do you think a greater application rate would have changed your corn stall percentages?
Yes. We wanted to do slightly below the recommended rate, and then one at the high end of the recommended rate, just to because if you can apply it at the lower rate and get enough production, then that would be a more efficient, money-saving way to do it. And then the high end to see if we did have that response and yield, is it worth it? Due to the loss from the system. And then, what was the second part of your question?
If you increase your poultry litter application, do you think that
yes, yeah, that's possible. It would have been really interesting to do the poultry litter application at two rates as well, but due to land and time and capacity limitations, we couldn't do that. But yeah, future work, that would be great.
Thank you.